find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott. And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America. Thank you once again for joining us. You can keep the conversation going on Twitter by following at Freddie Scott or go to freddiescott.org. The call is free today, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Feel free to call in and share your love to myself and to our guests that we'll be having on to talk about what you want to talk about your favorite teams and their wins and losses, and we look forward to hearing from you. We also have a great show lined up for you as always today. We'll be talking about Fatherhood 101, what every dad must know. We've got Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy joining us again today talking about being a father forever, as well as a powerful story that the impact that a father has in the life of his daughters from our friends at I Am Second. And we also have a good friend of mine, Brian Molitor, will be stopping by to give us tips to create a family game plan to raise the next generation. And as always, we'll wrap today's show with an All-Pro Dad play of the day. Right now, I have the pleasure of bringing back to the show a great friend of mine, former Tennessee Titan and the Ohio State University wide receiver, Chris Sanders. Chris, how are you doing today?
What's up, man? You doing all right? Thanks for inviting me back on the show.
Man, so good to have you back. We have had a crazy weekend in sports. And it seems like it just got a little crazier, at least in the baseball world. It seems like, according to the Associated Press, the St. Louis Cardinals skipper Tony La Russa is retiring. In a press conference just released, I saw it on ESPN.com, yeah. Associated Press released it, according to the article, La Russa is retiring third on the all-time wins list.
Wow.
35 behind second place John McGraw.
Wow.
In addition to this season, he won championships in Oakland in 89, St. Louis in 2006. And he says that he feels good about this, that this is the right decision for him right now. And so when you're talking about that, is that the way you'd want to end your career, ending on top?
Man, I would love to. I mean, everybody wants to be in that position, because if you look at the world of sports, I mean, a lot of times guys have to retire or get fired from their jobs because they're not performing or, you know, things aren't going well and they get cut. So that's how a lot of guys have to end their career. But when you win a championship at any level, I mean, I think you do want to go out on top. I mean, if you look at his career, I mean, he's been coaching for a long, long time. And I think that, you know, he just probably kind of sat and said, okay, yes, I won the championship, but let me look and see what's more important. My family's important and other things are priorities in my life. So I think that came into play.
Yeah, you're talking about 33 years being a skipper, 3 world championships,
wow.
Only 35 games behind being second place on the all-time wins list. Now, that's impressive. And like you said, in the game of professional athletics,
yeah.
you know, you rarely are in that type of position where you're in control. Like
yeah.
I said, you know, usually if you have a losing season, now the management and the fans want you fired,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
there's all types of things as players.
Yeah.
You could be injured, you know, you could be cut, you could be traded.
Yeah.
You rarely are in a position where you say, you know what, I'm going to walk away on
wow.
top and go ahead and ride into the sunset. So my hat's off to you, Coach La Russa.
Yeah.
I think every one of us are happy that of your contribution to the game of baseball, and I'm sure you'd say the same thing that,
yeah.
you know what, now I've got to ask you the question. If Kevin Dyson reaches across that goal line and doesn't end up one yard short.
See, I'm about to hang up. I was just about to hang up.
No, but would that have been something to say, you know what, I got my ring, I'm done, let me just end it right here.
I think for me, see, that was when I went to the Super Bowl, that was my fifth year in the NFL, and I'm still kind of, you know, filling things out. I think if we would have still won the championship, I think I would have played a couple of more years, but when I retired, it would have been a little easier, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, I when you win a championship.
I think it's more like that John Elway.
That's what I was going to say.
In the end of your career
yeah.
and, you know, get a chance to go out on top like that. That's pretty much the dream of all of ours. Is,
yeah,
you know,
because
you want to be able to end on
yeah.
top.
Yeah, because in football, you know, it's hard to get to the championship every year. I mean, it's funny because the year we went to the Super Bowl, that wasn't even our best team. Our best team was the next year, and we lost in the playoffs, and we had home field advantage. So it's just so crazy to try to win the championship.
Right. You can never guarantee that it's going to happen. And when you look at the Cardinals' run,
yeah.
the last team to make the playoffs, I mean, they were a long shot. They should not have even made
right.
the playoffs, and yet they go on that type of run to win the World Series that no one would have saw 2 months ago.
That's
now, this
exciting.
Weekend we have some big uh-huh. games. Of course, both of us being Big Ten guys.
Uh-oh.
And unfortunately, Lamar isn't able to join us today, seeing as how your Buckeyes took down
yeah.
his Badgers. So what are your thoughts on what's happening in the Big Ten now? Ohio State takes down Wisconsin. Wisconsin looked like they were getting ready to go on a national championship
Man,
run.
For real.
And now you guys in Buckeye land took them out. And then Penn State wins ugly, but they
I mean,
went ugly. But so what's going on in the Big Ten?
Man, it is crazy. I mean, just like when we played. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if you were, you know, you won five games and you're 5-0 in your conference at that time. Anybody can beat anybody. You remember we used to play Northwestern and everybody tries to really schedule them, but you can't just schedule anybody because anybody can beat anybody. I mean, if you look at when y'all played Illinois this week. I mean, whoever thought that you guys would beat Illinois?
Well, you know, it was one of those things where I think Penn State's defense is really strong.
They are strong.
The offense is just where they're really hurting right now, trying to find anyone to be consistent on offense at quarterback. And then their best receiver had a broken bone in his foot, didn't play until late in the game. There's just a lot of things up in the air. But you know what? At the end of the day,
yeah.
I think that we've got some competitive teams,
yeah.
and hopefully we'll be able to have a competitive showing once it's time for the BCS game,
right.
the championship game.
I know.
And because that, to me, I just want a Big Ten team to represent
right.
strong in those BCS games against some of those other SEC, ACC, Big 12 schools.
But,
and so, go ahead.
But you know who looks strong, though? And they didn't look strong in the beginning of the season. It's Nebraska.
That is true.
Man, for real, Nebraska, they were ranked high, but they looked okay. But, man, now they're looking really strong. So, I think that's the team to beat in the Big Ten. I think Michigan State might be out of it because, you know, they always start off 8-0, but then they lose the last five. So
right, and usually Penn
yeah.
State's one of those. I'm not going to go there, but
there you go.
But you know what? Penn State, Nebraska next week in Happy
Ooh.
Valley, that's going to be a huge, huge game to see exactly where both of those teams are measuring up, to see if Penn State's offense can click and to see if Nebraska can continue to roll.
Yeah, I might get shut out.
Hey, I think, you know what, I think they'll play up because, you know, when you look back,
yeah.
when Penn State was playing competitive against Alabama,
right.
you know, they were, you know, inches away from
right.
the fake punt, you know, the long third down conversion where the
yeah.
safety tried to make a break on the play, on the ball instead of just a break up on the receiver, that first touchdown pass. You know, was
yeah.
little inches between two linebackers. Up until that point, they were playing competitive, and so it's just going to be interesting to see which team shows up. Now, last week,
yeah.
or not last week, yesterday we had some really good games between the Steelers, the Patriots,
oh,
the Eagles, the Cowboys, and so
yeah.
Big Ben and the Steelers took down the Patriots. So now before that, everyone was saying Tom Brady and the Patriots in the
right.
class of the AFC. Who's the best team now in the AFC?
Man, I don't know. I mean, everybody thought it was New England, and then everybody says Pittsburgh. Then they went to Baltimore, and then Baltimore loses, what, 6-3 against or 12-3 against Jacksonville. So it's just a toss-up, just like the Big Ten. I mean, you just don't know who's going to beat who. But, you know, if I can say the team that's really dominant right now, I still would have to say the New England Patriots because you know they're going to bounce back from this loss, and whoever they play, they're going to blow out. So, you know, I would have to say the Patriots. But then there's another team that's 3-3 that's landing the cut, and they play tonight, which is Kansas City. Now, the last two games, they've been playing very, very well. So I think they're going to beat San Diego, get 4-3, and they're going to get on the run.
And, you know, I think at this point, basically what the NFL is just there's so much parity.
Oh, man.
You cannot, everyone's getting paid. You know, and that's the thing that guys got to realize.
Right.
Fans, you need to realize every single player on every team, every coach, every person on that sideline is getting paid to do what they do because they're good at what they do. Regardless of what logo is on or decal is on that helmet, you got to realize that any team can beat anyone, and typically each game is determined by six plays. And so, really, I think in the AFC, it's going to wind down who gets home field advantage.
I think that don't even make a difference either. I mean, because you know, if you look at the games that's been happening this year, a lot of teams have been getting beat at home. I mean, if you look at what's been going on. So, I mean, that could make a difference, and it could be, but I'm just not sure. But even in the NFC, I mean, whoever thought that the Rams would beat the New Orleans Saints like that?
After as strong as the Saints looked against Indianapolis just the week before, no one saw that coming. But you know what?
Yeah.
A huge difference factor. You had Steven Jackson coming
great,
back healthy. You had a healthy Steven Jackson with a backup quarterback with the Rams.
I know, and they just signed a receiver from the Broncos, which is
Brandon
Lloyd.
And so that just to me just means the NFL, you can't predict it. You don't know what's going to happen. Just sit back and enjoy the ride. The Eagles look strong finally against the Cowboys. They look like the team that everyone was projecting them to be in the beginning of the season. Maybe it just took them a little while just to, since we had the lockout, you didn't have a long training camp like you normally would have. It seems like maybe they needed that time to gel on defense.
Yeah.
The defense looked like they were flying around, felt comfortable with what they were doing. What do you think of the Eagles and what in the statement they made against the Cowboys?
Man, I just think that if you look at the game yesterday, I mean, if you look at receiver-wise, I think that on the Philadelphia Eagles, they just have so many playmakers. I mean, they have Macklin, I can't remember his name, and they have, what's that other receiver's name, number 10?
Jackson.
I mean, they have him. But if you look at on the other side of the ball, I mean, they only have a couple of playmakers at receiver, and they're not producing. I mean, if you look at the game, The Dallas Cowboys receivers, they didn't really make any plays. But the receivers on Philadelphia side and McCoy, the running back, they made plays all day long, not just 5 and 6 yards of play. I mean, they're making like 20 yards, 15 yards. I mean, unbelievable the plays that really set the tone of the whole game.
Michael Vick was playing at extremely high level, very accurate throws.
Yeah.
I love the game plan that they had, both the mix of run and pass, involving the tight ends. They look very, very strong. And right now you've got a logjam in the NFC East. You've got you've got the Giants with a 2-game lead.
They almost lost.
They almost lost as well, but they only have a 2-game lead. Everybody else, the Cowboys, the Eagles, and everyone else is all log jammed in second place and last place. But I think the Eagles are in a really good position to make a run here and hopefully make a run for the playoffs that everyone was hoping, at least in the preseason, was trying to pick them. Now, going into next weekend's game, we have 1 minute left.
Okay.
We've got the BCS standings were released. You got LSU, Bama, Oklahoma State, Stanford, jumping Boise State.
Why do they do that every year?
Well, according to the computer rankings, Stanford got the extra points because they beat a ranked opponent.
Oh, okay.
So you got LSU, Bama.
Yeah.
Take your pick. Who is winning, coming out undefeated this Saturday?
I say Alabama.
Alabama
by 1 point.
Bama at home by 1 point. I'm going to go for an upset. I'm going to pick LSU going into Alabama and winning in Alabama by 3 points.
Okay, we got to come up with a bet. If you lose, you have to sing Ohio State fight song on the air.
Oh, I can't do that. You can't do that on my show.
Now, come on, man. No. And I'll sing your stinky fight song.
No, we'll do that with the Big Ten game when we play Penn State, Ohio State. We can talk about that on the SEC game. Hey, you're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Thank you so much for joining us. When we come back after the break, we're going to have a touching story from Shannon Culpepper from I Am Second, telling us about the importance that fathers play in the role of a daughter. And you don't want to miss that story. Then later on, we're going to have Tony Dungy talking about being a father forever. You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports. Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Again, this is your show, America, and we thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you keep this conversation going on Twitter, on Facebook. Like the Freddie Scott Show on the Facebook fan page, where we will be posting, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You'll also be able to see all the featured videos and articles and things that we're referring to on today's show. All those links will be right there on the Facebook fan page. Right now, we have a touching story of Shannon Culpepper. As a young girl, Shannon grew up confused, chasing after the approval that only a father could give and one that she never received. She thought she found it chasing after love in a man whose manipulative, controlling ways left her gasping for breath. All she wanted was a trophy of distinction, for someone to love her and tell her who she was. It was in those dark moments where she found the greatest peace and most fulfilling joy. Her story kindles an excitement in the lives of those who feel as if their abandonment is somehow reflective of who they are as individuals. When it looked like she never received that validation, it was given to her in the most unlikeliest of ways. So now as she chases after life, she no longer runs with uncertainty, but with a gleaming light of self-assurance. Here's Shannon's story.
I was confused when my dad left. I would just think, like, he's not here. He's not seeing me grow up. Every time he saw me, he's like, wow, you've grown up so much since the last time I saw you. And I'm like, you should be seeing it as it happens. You shouldn't have to watch me grow up in segments from year to year. That's just not fair. It's not fair that you're not here for me. It's not fair that you're spending more time with your new family. You should be here with me. I would always think to myself, I was here first. I was here before your new wife. I was here before your new kids. Why can't you be here? What? Where are you? And, I mean, it was just, it was lonely. And it was very hard to experience. Then when I was about a senior in high school, I fell madly head over heels in love for this guy. He was just very intelligent. He owned a business. He had this huge, beautiful house. Oh, and he had written a book and published it too, and then was working on two other novels. And he just swept me off my feet completely. And every worldly thing I'd ever wanted to attain, it seemed like he had done it, and he had done it better than anybody else. He was very controlling. If I would go have a conversation with one of my good girlfriends for 30 minutes on the phone just to catch up with him, he would get upset. If I wanted to see them, he would get upset. I had to buy an entire new wardrobe because none of my clothes were good enough for him, didn't meet his standards. I was accused of cheating several times, which I don't know how that was possible. I was with him every moment of every day, and he just shoved me off of him and walked off, and we were like in the middle of the street. What just happened? What did I do wrong? Why are you so upset with me when all I'm trying to do is have some sense of a normal life here? What I realized was I constantly was just looking for that attention in the same way I had looked for it in my father, and I needed a fatherly figure, and this man that I was engaged to was older, and so I saw him as wiser and someone that I could take direction from, in the same way I would seek that from a father. And so I finally realized I had been investing all this time, all this emotion, and putting these things first in my life that weren't worth putting first in my life. I found myself calling out to God nightly, just begging for the pain to just go away. The times I have felt God most present in my life have been in those times where I am just in desperate need of Him. I just need to know that I'm loved and I'm cared about. Christ brought me out of the pit and He raised me up, and so He's the one that could meet my needs from now on, and He's the one I realized that I need to be pouring my life into. He loves me all the time, no matter what. He's there. I can pray to Him at any time. He isn't distant. He's not far away. He's not going to shut me out and shove me away from Him. It's exactly what I've been searching for. I mean, exactly what I've always wanted. It's just that it's Him and not anyone else. My name is Shannon Culpepper, and I am second.
Wow. Thank you, Shannon. And again, I want to thank my good friends at I Am Second for providing that touching story of Shannon, as she's just shared how she felt being a daughter, not receiving the love and validation that she needs from her father. And sometimes as men, we don't really understand that. We really don't understand the impact that we have on our families, on our children. And even though we love them, love sometimes isn't enough. What we feel in our hearts for them sometimes isn't enough. We need to understand what we should be doing that makes a positive impact on those that we love and those that love us. And I have the pleasure right now of being joined by a great friend and expert in this area, Brian Molitor. Brian is the Chief Executive Officer of Molitor International, an award-winning company with over 25 years of experience serving clients in North America, Australia, Europe, United Kingdom, the Caribbean, and Africa. His company specializes in organizational development, change management, and the creation of customization of training programs, including leadership, team building, interpersonal relationships, communication, trust building, conflict resolution, amongst other things. In addition to all of that, Brian has a passion to empower men to be better fathers with practical tools to transform their families. So without any further ado, I want to welcome Brian Molitor to the show. Brian, welcome to the Freddie Scott Show.
Hey, thank you, my friend. What a joy to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. And you heard that touching story from Shannon, and there's so many of us that sometimes we don't understand as men the impact that we have and what we should be doing for the next generation. And so why is it that we as fathers, as men, need a game plan to be fathers and parents? Why do we need that?
Well, I think if we don't have a game plan, see, men, we understand the need for a game plan. If we're playing football, you don't just show up on the field and say, you know, let's just run around. We don't do that. That's not what professionals do. That's not the way to get a quality outcome. But as men, as fathers, we are so busy with our own lives and climbing the ladder of success, and it might be a short ladder, it might be a tall one, but we're focused on ourselves a lot. That's how we live our lives. We get married, and we're thinking about jobs, money, houses, vacation, golfing, all kinds of things, all right? And then a child comes along. So we have a son or we have a daughter. And if we're not careful, we spend more time planning for our retirement and our 401ks and, frankly, our 2 weeks vacation a year than we do having a very strategic plan for our children. And I think they get lost in the shuffle. And if they're not showing any outward signs of need, you know, when they're real little, they cry and you feed them or you change their diapers and then that's about it. But there's a cry in the heart of young people, and they're crying out for time with their fathers. And if you don't plan it out, Freddie, then the rest of the world will just suck a man's time away. And then, you know, 16, 18 years go by, and that little one that used to toddle around your family room is now driving off to school or just leaving home. And one of the greatest regrets when I talk to men around the world is that they did not take the time and they were not strategic about raising their kids. And so we really want the men to be thinking about that.
Well, this is the Freddie Scott Show. We thank you so much, America, for joining us today. Today we're talking about Fatherhood 101, what every father and dad needs to know. And we're joined today with Brian Molitor, who is just an expert in this field, who's giving us some basic tips on how do we develop a game plan as fathers. And while you're talking about the game plan, obviously this weekend Joe Paterno just became the number one winning coach in Division I history, passing Coach Robinson from years ago from all the wins he had at Grambling. And it was amazing because I reflect back and I remember each practice Coach Paterno would have a script to the minute of every drill that we would do. So, and we didn't really understand it as a player because, you know, we'd see him with his little sheet of paper sticking out of his back pocket and he would sometimes pull it out and scribble on it, but we didn't really know what it was. But it was literally, he would number every practice. He knew how many practices we had before before the first game of the season. He knew how many practices we had between the first game of the season to the bowl game. He understood how many practices we had in spring football to get us ready for the next season. And he had a plan of what he wanted to get accomplished each minute. And so those wins didn't just happen just because he was there a long time. You know, that length of time doesn't guarantee wins. He actually put together his own plan. And so what are some of the things that we could do, success keys, to allow us to be able to implement these game plans and to go into this transition of mentoring, blessing, and providing a rites of passage to our kids?
Yeah, that's great. I'm so proud of Joe Paterno and what he's done. He realized something, Freddie. What he realized was that he was the coach He was the steward of young men's lives for a season. And after that season was over, he had to release those young men to go off and pursue their destiny either in professional sports or a thousand other careers. But he understood that he had them for a short period of time, and so he maximized his positive impact on them. And so we can use Joe Pa's example as fathers. And this is a difficult revelation, but it's one that really shocked me one day was I was praying and this came to me. And it goes like this, Freddie. A father has 18 to 20 years to lay a foundation in a son or daughter upon which they will build for half a century. See, we have a limited period of time to lay a foundation. It's all we can do. I can't prepare any of my three sons or my daughter for everything that they're going to face in life. And the reality is, I'll be gone before they've run the end of their race. But I can lay a foundation, a principle-based foundation upon which they can build, and others will come along. God will bring other people to help teach them. It might be a coach. It might be an instructor. It's going to be a boss, etc. Spouses even can pour into our sons and our daughters, but we've got to lay that foundation. And Freddie, what I found is that there are three fundamental elements that if they're in a dad's plan, then he's got a pretty good shot at being successful. The first I call lifelong mentoring, and it's not just mentoring. People talk about mentoring. It's lifelong mentoring. And lifelong mentoring consists of life lessons, character qualities, and experiences that we want our sons and daughters to have to help them establish that foundation.
Mm.
And if you don't have a plan for lifelong mentoring, then your parenting becomes negative. Here's what I mean. If I don't have good things that I want to lead my children to, whether it's kindness, industriousness, hard work, doing well at school, being kind to others, etc. If I don't have those things laid out and I'm in agreement with my spouse that, yes, these are the things we want to see in our children so I can catch them doing right, then I'm really relegated to catching my kids doing things wrong.
Wow.
And all too often, Freddie, what happens is we've got dads that say nothing when their children do what is right. And as soon as the child does something wrong, dad jumps all over it. And pretty soon we cause our children not to want to try because they're afraid of the criticism that could come.
Wow. When we come back after the break, let's go over those next two points. You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back right after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're
listening to The Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to The Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. If you're just joining us today, you'd missed former Tennessee Titan Chris Sanders talking about this weekend's games and gave his bold prediction for next weekend's LSU-Alabama showdown. We also heard a touching story from our friends at I Am Second with Shannon Culpepper talking about the impact that her father had in her life as a result of not being involved in her life and how vulnerable she felt. And now we're keeping up this conversation about fathers and fatherhood and basically talking about the impact that men and fathers have in the roles of their children. And we're joined today with Brian Molitor, who's giving us some excellent insights into providing a game plan for fathers and parents for our children. And so, Brian, you before the break, you were talking about 3 points that we need to have and implement. And so if you could pick up right where you left off.
Yeah, the three things are lifelong mentoring. The second is intentional blessing. And the third is a modern-day rite of passage. So we talked a little bit earlier about the lifelong mentoring. And I think the key there, Freddie, is that, you know, dads have got to be engaged. And they have to have a strategic plan on the kinds of things that they're looking for in their children. So life lessons, character qualities, and experiences. And these are things that if you plan it out beforehand, boy, you lay out a strategy and you make sure that the young people in your life are exposed to such things. And it gives them such an advantage over young people that don't have that kind of mentoring. So lifelong mentoring is a fundamental thing that every young person needs and dads need to be very mindful of.
Now, that's a very interesting point, and I know you have those other points, but there's something in there that I think is important. What is the mentoring simply, this is the way I did it, and this is the way I'm expecting my parents to, my kids to do it? You know, because sometimes you sort of are mentored based upon your belief system, based upon your experiences, based upon what your dad did or what your dad didn't do. Or is there another paradigm that we should be looking to that we should be passing on to our kids and not just our personal life experience?
Well, yeah, I think you want to look for best practices. Now, for me, I'm a Christian, and so I'll look to the scripture, I'll look to the Bible for keys and principles to be successful. But in addition, I'll also look around my community, my church, the people I work with, and I'll see successful dads, and I simply go ask them, so what'd you do? What'd you do well? Your son is excelling in football, sports, art, music, fellowship with others, whatever. So find those best practices. And we're not bound by the past, but we're influenced by the past.
Mm.
And so what I learned to do was to be honest with my sons and my daughter when it was age appropriate and say, you know, here's some areas that I think you need to be mindful of. I made big mistakes in these areas. Here's what it cost me. Here were the consequences of my bad choices over here. And, you know, when you do those things, I think we're really helping to prepare them for the future. The other thing, Freddie, that I think is very important is that you need a vision for each child, but it's a vision that you jointly develop. For example, my oldest son, Christopher, he loved basketball, and he said early on he wanted to play college ball. And so I coached him and helped him, and eventually he made it to a university down in Florida. They won a D2 national championship. And that opened the door for some politics in school and then some television production for him. It just prepared him. But the vision for my next son was very different. He's interested in business. My daughter is interested in creating curriculum to help young girls to develop self-esteem. So I couldn't take one size fits all in terms of a vision for my kids. So you've got to work with them and prayerfully consider what is each one called for and that helps you then customize the mentoring that you do for each child.
Mm. Now, it's amazing because sometimes you see the opposite of that. You don't see or hear a lot of men looking to their kids from the perspective of what are their gifts, talents, abilities, and how can I help them become what God made them to be. A lot of times you see men doing the opposite of, this is what I really wanted to do, and so let me try to live my life through them and send them down the pathway that I wish I would have gone down. And so is there a danger to doing that, to trying to push your children down a pathway that's not their wiring? And you said an interesting word. You said it should be done together through collaboration, through conversation, communication with your kids about what their passions are. You know, what happens if a guy just says, no, this is the way I want you to go, without any insight as to whether or not that's even something they want to do?
That'll work right up until that son or daughter is out from underneath your control. And the instant they get away from your control, they'll do exactly what they want to do, and you will create rebellion and tremendous hurt in young people when we try to approach it that way. What's interesting to me is we can search the Bible and we go, okay, I was made in God's image, right? Man was made in God's image, but we don't allow our sons and daughters the same degree of honor. That they're made in God's image. They're not made in my image. My kids look somewhat like me, but that's genetics.
Mm.
In terms of the gifts and the callings, God put that in there. And so my job as a good steward, remember, like Joe Paterno, he's a good steward when you played there and the other players, I must recognize that I can't force me on here. What I can force or enforce while my sons and daughters are under my roof are the values. So there's no room for discussion on values and principles. Mm-hmm. However, there's lots and lots of room when it relates to what are you going to do with your life as you move forward. And as mm-hmm. long as the values and principles are in place, right, that are rock solid, my job is to release the giftings and the calling and the talents and the abilities that are within each child, and they will be different. They will not be the same very often.
Well, that actually makes things a lot simpler when you talk about just knowing the values and the principles, but also possibly a little bit more difficult, because what if you aren't living the values or the principles? Because wouldn't you agree that if we're going to be instilling certain values and principles in our children, then we should be reflecting them in our own lives, and that's assuming we even know the values and principles that we should be living.
Well, absolutely. If you don't, it's called hypocrisy, and young people see through that very quickly. So, yeah, we've got it. This is the thing. There ought to be some little switch that goes off in every man's head that when he hears the word, you're going to be a dad, we got to flip that switch. And what it says is, look, you are no longer the most important being on the face of the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are no longer, life is no longer just about you getting what you want. Life now is about you giving everything that you have for the next 18 to 20 years to reach, raise, love, and train this little one that's coming. And it's difficult. I'm not saying it's easy, but remember, I did it four times. And Freddie, I watched my number two son, Steven, with his one-year-old, and I see in him all of the emotions. I see the joy. She makes him smile. Little Bella makes him smile. I see the frustration at times when she's difficult to deal with. But I'm so proud because I see a young man at age 24 that is giving himself for his family, giving himself for his daughter. And you know what? He's never going to regret it. But it's way too easy to stay selfish, to not deal with our own issues, and to have these little ones under our care, and then all of a sudden 18, 20 years goes by, and now come the regrets. I just want to spare the guys from those regrets. We don't have to have them.
Wow. Now, we have a couple minutes before our last break, and can you maybe talk to us about what are the blessings associated with doing this, with everything you're talking about, and instilling the right values and principles in our children, and creating values for our kids, and having a strategic plan, and going down this process of developing this lifelong mentoring with our children? What are the blessings associated with that? We got 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm just sum it up in the word legacy. We all want to, you know, we live for the moment a lot. You know, we're men, we live for the moment. We want to be the, you know, catch the winning touchdown and save the girl and all this stuff, be the hero. But the reality is life's a bit of a grind sometimes. And I don't know anybody, and as a business consultant, I work with lots of top leaders around the world, and I don't know any of them that boasted as they were near the end about their business accomplishments. Now halfway along the trail, they will. But what I really hear guys getting excited about is that their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren are doing well. They're prospering. And so it's legacy. And it's worth all the hard work. And, you know, some of your listeners, Freddie, they're in that new stage where they got the young kids and they're crying and there's diapers and all this stuff. And it might be difficult for them to see, but they need to listen to somebody like me. That's like a Joe Paterno who's been at this thing for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
For me, about 30 years as you know, raising the family. And I can tell you that there'll never be a regret by pouring into that next generation. But there'll be tremendous regrets if you don't give it your best shot. So let's leave a lasting legacy and let's build it around the next generation.
Mm. Thank you so much. We've got 1 minute to go, but there's still some things that I want you to be able to share with our audience when we come right back after the break. After the break, we're going to hear from Tony Dungy in the Dungy Diary, and he's going to be talking about being a father forever. And after that, I would love to be able to hear from Brian once again as he gives some parting thoughts of wisdom, sort of our call to action for us as men to be able to implement our homes. And even if you're a dad and man, my kids are already past 18, are there any things that we could do as dads even for our children that may be out of our house now, but maybe I didn't lay that foundation the way I could have, the way Brian's been talking about? Brian, I would love for you to be able to share some of those parting thoughts of wisdom when we come right back after the break. You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
My dad passed away when I was 49 years old, and at 49, I'm still asking him, Dad, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? We just lost two games in a row. What should I say to the team? And even now, I still think back, man, my dad said this. In this situation, my dad would have done this. He's my dad. He'll be my dad till I'm 100 years old, hopefully. And that's the thing we have to realize. The things we do, the things we say are going to stay with our kids forever.
Yes, and my grandfather was one of a man of few words. I just remember him just on the wall. Said very little, but his actions said so much. And, you know, I would say, how would Daddy respond to this with all of the turmoil and the hollering and the screaming? And how would he respond to this? And I have images of just him, his body language. I also have images and remember his word in the car to saying, hey, you can't fight that battle. That battle is not yours. And always treat people right. Respect people. Remember, you control what you say and your actions, not what someone else is doing to you. So you're a parent forever. You're a father forever. And the things that you say to your children today, as current players, as current coaches, will live with them for the rest of their lives.
And on the other side of the coin, our oldest daughter is 25, and I'd say to her all the time, you're listening a little better now than you did when you were 18. And she's, no, I always listened. You just didn't know it.
Yeah. And for me, I have a senior in college. My daughter, I'm thinking, okay, she's now leaving out of school. She's now about to be on her own. So I'm actually trying to remove her from, you know, the everyday family life. And now she's more engaged with me, looking for more guidance today than she's ever looked. So the father role, the parenting role, it never ends.
Stays forever.
The Dungy Diary with Troy Vincent, Director of Player Development for the NFL, and just talking about the role that we always have as fathers, that you're a father forever. We've been joined today with Brian Molitor, who's been giving us some great insights into developing a game plan for fathers and parents. And we've been talking about the importance of lifelong mentoring and explaining the blessing and legacy that we should be leaving to our children and a rite of passage that we could have. And so, Brian, as we wrap today's show, how does a dad get started? How do we start this process? If I haven't started it, I may have wanted to do it, and I come home, I provide, but I really have not been intentional in developing a game plan and developing the principles and the values within my children. I've just been sort of going with the flow. So how do I get started?
Well, buddy, you start with a commitment. It's like anything else in life, man. I mean, we're not born with everything we need, all the insights and so on. So we learn as we go. And so what we want to do is we want to start today. And there's not going to be any overnight transformation of any of the dads listening to us, but there can be an overnight change in our level of commitment to be a great father. So it starts with that commitment. The next thing we want to do is start to develop a plan. And this is the stuff I write about in my books, Boys Passage and Girls Passage, but you have to create a plan first. And the plan will include lifelong mentoring, intentional blessing with our affirming, encouraging words, appropriate touch and prayer. And eventually, the plan will include a rite of passage. And so we just need to get started. You think about anything that we've ever done in life that we weren't just absolutely given. We had to work hard. If we wanted to be stronger, we had to lift the weights. If we wanted to be healthier, we had to eat right and so on. Want to be a better dad? Let's just get started. And Freddie, there's one thing really important. Tony mentioned it when he mentioned that his dad would always be his dad. Something I always want to say to dads when I speak to them is this: it's never too late. And we've got dads listening to you right now, and their kids are out of the house, and they're grown, and they've got their own children. It's not time. You're not going to bring them back under your roof and you know, teach them things that you wish you would have taught them. But we can start with things like saying, I'm sorry. If we blew it, we say, I'm sorry. If we never told them we loved them, our son or our daughter, we start telling them that. If we've never encouraged them, we start to encourage them. And it's amazing, the power of a father's words to hurt or to heal is just phenomenal. And I expect to see 80-year-old dads blessing their 60-year-old sons with affirming, encouraging words, with appropriate touch. Give them a hug, give them a high five, whatever it takes. Begin to pray for them, and it's never too late. It's never too late. Freddie, I've seen so many stories around the world where dad would turn his heart, based on Malachi 4:6, he would turn his heart to his children, and his children were off on drugs, they were into all kinds of mess, and that loving heart of the father being turned brings that young person home. So just remember, dads, it's never too late, and today's the best day to get started.
Wow, thank you so much, Brian. For all of our guests, I will have links to all of Brian's websites and also your book. If you want to go ahead and get his book, it's a phenomenal book for developing a rite of passage for your son and or your daughter. He is just an awesome friend, and thank you. This will not be the last time you'll be on the show. I can tell we're just getting started, and thank you so much, Brian, for taking your time. As we end today's show, as always, we have an All for Dad play of the day, and today we're going to talk about parenting when your children become adults. A management consultant and friend of All Pro Dad, Barry Banthner, asked us the following question. As a child, you hold their hand. As an adult, how do you hold your child's heart when they struggle? That's a great question. It's tricky once your children are grown to know how your life should intersect. And if you go to freddyscott.org, you'll get three things to consider in fathering your child when they become an adult. Why? Because you're a daddy forever. Your title never changes, but your role does. Huddle up with your adult children tonight. Give them a call, email them, text them, and let them know, I love you, and I'm proud of you, because, and you fill in the blank. Until next week, this is Freddie Scott reminding you to love and lead your family. Next week, of course, we'll have another installment of the Dungy Diary. We'll be joined by Hodge Flemings, who will be featured in a CNN special coming up with Soledad O'Brien next week, talking about the impact of the family brand. He is an extraordinary friend and business and entrepreneur, and you don't want to miss next week's show. And until then, love and lead your family. We'll talk to you next week on The Freddie Scott Show.
Thanks again for tuning in to The Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
All right, bye.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.